If I had a million hyphens, I still would not be able to express how talented our next guest is. Jim Meskimen, voiceover artist, actor, entertainer, writer, director. This guy is a genius. So excited to learn from him today. Jim, thank you for joining us.
No, it's very kind. Thank you, Daniel. I'm pleased to be here. Thanks for having me on your couch.
So you actually started out as an artist being a painter, but is that correct? Or
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, I've been an artist all my life. Big props to my mom, Marion Ross, who is an actress herself and always was. When she was on Happy Days, she played Ron Howard's mom. That's what she's famous for. But in my life, she's famous for being really an encouraging person. Mm-hmm. So is a very important part of who I am is the fact that I had a mom mm-hmm. that said, hey, you know, it's okay to create stuff. Mm. In fact, it's kind of cool. And what you just did was great. And, you know, it's a simple thing, but I wish everybody had that.
I agree. Yeah.
And it's funny that she turned out to be this iconic mom that people feel like they know. Mm-hmm. And in a way, they kind of know a shade of her.
What was it like growing up with Happy Days around you? Just like...
In my little micro world, my mother was on a series. But it slowly ramped up. So
it wasn't like an overnight success.
Not at all. No, it took years. My mother was a single mom, raised my sister and I. Oh. We didn't have a lot, really. She was always a little bit struggling. You know, we lived off the commercial that she did and the episode of Mannix that she was on. So it grew very slowly. So I kind of slowly was able to get used to this thing. And then it was like, well, this is the most popular show on television. Because Ron was like 18 years old and Donnie Most was also maybe 17, maybe 18 years old.
And Anson Williams, this is my Anson Williams impression. He was like, he was probably 19 too.
So I met all these guys and I've been imitating them since I was in high school. And Henry was like 22. And one of my only memories of Henry Winkler was stage 19 or whatever stage it was in Paramount where they were shooting. And he was over there smoking. You could still smoke indoors on a soundstage.
Wow.
And I remember saying to him, well, it's not very admirable.
You said that to Fonzie?
Yeah, what a smart ass. He was such a smart ass.
Wow.
Anyway, but it was marvelous to see, well, what is an actual working actor's life? Mm. What is the actual schedule? What is the reality of the job? You know, what do you have to do? And what do the writers have to do with it? The director, assistant director, all these grips, all these things. The bad part was, I thought it was all the crazy glamour and attention and is this what you do it for? Mm. And I got confused because there was something very attractive about it. It was very exciting. And there were celebrities and, you know, events and things and tours and blah, blah, blah. And I wasn't really part of that. I kind of liked it. I was interested. I wanted it, but I didn't want it and I didn't understand. And I kind of lost my bearings on it a little bit. Like, what is this job? And what's the point of it? Mm. But it's maybe one of the reasons why I didn't like fully commit to acting for quite a while. Early in my life, I had tremendous stage fright, right from the get-go. Strong desire to do it, tremendous stage fright. Mm. So I was kind of stopped a little bit. Then I eventually, short story is, I got involved in improv in New York City. And that helped me ease my way out of the barrier of stage fright. And then a stage fright does wear off. Mm-hmm. But you gotta be willing to kind of bear. It's kind of like when you play guitar or something, you got to let your fingers toughen up. It's painful until that happens. Yeah, quantity. It's all about quantity. It's all about, and it's about support. The art of improv is giving the other person on stage what they need to create. You take your attention off yourself, the way we learned it anyway. I mean, there's a lot of different schools, but the most successful ones are the ones that go, what does that other actor need? If you got three people in the scene and they're all going, what was that funny thing I said last night? It would be like three strangers that aren't even participating in the same show.
Right.
Can you tell us about like New York, you know, starting out, you know, eating pizza every
night? Yeah, eating pizza, man. Pizza made New York. Well, when I was in my 20s, I decided that I'd studied painting enough in Spain. I was now ready. I was inspired and ready to go to New York and be an actor. Changed plans totally. But someone said, you should go to New York. Yeah, you should go. So I went and stayed with people and had really not too much money and worked as, I moved in with a bunch of cartoonists, Marvel artists.
Wow.
And Marvel artists at the time were like, nobody knew from Marvel. It was like, I mean, it was a very different scene, the Marvel of 1983. But I met all these people, and we lived in a big loft, and you know, we were helping each other. Hey, you put your portfolio together, take it to this guy, and getting freelance work, and you know, pretty much living job to job. Oh, if I got $200 here, $300 here, then I could. And got my furniture off the street. Eventually, got my own place that I was renting, and really just scrambling, just to live,
right,
so that I could get a better thing and be an actor. You know, I just wanted to live, and so I supported myself as an artist because I could always draw cartoons. I could draw anything. Maybe it's true today. It drags out of you anything you can do. So it's like, if you can you tap dance? Yeah, good. Well, there's an opportunity. Can you, you know, make sand paintings? Actually, I'm really good at it. Good, because there's a guy on Canal Street needs it. Good, I'm going. You know, anywhere you could get $100. Exciting. Now
that's
looking
true.
Back on it, I mean, at the time it was kind of like, I'm really hungry.
Yeah.
I hope this works. And I, by the way, I locked myself out and it's snowing, you know, and so it was a little more serious back then. But yeah, you know, we had adventures and things. My wife and I, we joke about to this day, you know, just funny things, the kind of personalities back then, the people you used to see on the street. There was a guy underground in the 42nd Street station, you know, where you're going across to get this, there's this underground passageway. There's always this old guy with a beard sitting there going, cup of coffee, give me a cup of coffee, cup of coffee, asking for money for a cup of coffee. And there was another guy on the street on Fifth Avenue, old hunkered up guy with a long overcoat, big nose, and he would pass out flyers with his panache, you know, probably like 70 years old, and he would say, clothing sale, clothing sale. You have to be, even though I've got 50 of them, I'd have to thank you and take one of these, because his presentation was so great, you know.
That's amazing.
It was just a fun time, and you just like, it's all so fresh, and you just absorb it, and any city is probably that way, but New York is just so compressed. There's every culture in the world, every, you know, bank balance, every degree of health or ill health, it's all there. You know, sexuality, it's just, they're just jammed in there, and you're like, hey, look at all this. This is amazing. And for an actor, it's great because that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with emotions and people and personalities and character and quirks and weird things. And it was just rich, rich time. It was like the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's amazing. It's bringing good memories because Daniel and I met in New York.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And yeah. I was actually a graphic artist, professor of filmmaking at the top schools and the top dancer. And
wow.
So like what
okay,
you just
yeah.
brought up. Is
I was
amazing.
Her assistant.
Yeah, he called me. He was calling me on the date. And he's like, can you meet? I'm like, he has no
Were
idea.
You the dance captain?
He came and filmed me a couple of times. And he was Daniel editor at my phone for a little while. But
I got promoted from editor.
I feel like that experience in New York has made me the director I am today. And all those things, being a dancer, a graphic artist, all that has brought all those skills into being a director. Do you feel that experience in New York and all those different skills that you had and came out now are in your acting?
I think so. It all informs it. I was watching, I like to watch Orson Welles videos, you know, late at night, at the end of the day. I like to listen to see what he has to say. And I saw something last night, and he was being interviewed, and he said, I think every artist has a lot of different fields. If they paint, they also make music. They have different things that they do. If they don't, then they're not really trying.
I just got an idea that I want to see. I'd want to see you as if walking one block in Brooklyn and you being all these different characters, like the guy who's passing out paper.
Clothing sale. Clothing
let's go. Let's
sale.
Fly there and
all
do
right,
that.
So the guy, there's the guy. He's a clothing sale. He hands this guy. Says, what the hell is this? Hey, you know, I want to tell you something. I went to the store last week, and I was trying to get a suit, right? I don't really work at the store, sir. I'm just a flyer distributor. Well, I understand that, but I just want you to know, this is what you're promoting. And I went to this store, and I bought a suit and had a spot on the back of it, shaped like a baby llama. And I didn't notice until I got home.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. Clothing sale. Clothing sale.
All right. Are you not going to talk to me? Okay, fine. Hey, officer. Officer. What is it? The guy over there, he's handing out flyers for... He should be arrested.
What are you talking about? That's clothing sale, man. He's there every day. Give me a break.
Okay, so I think that we just came up with our next script for Jim. Okay, we'll be up the stairs
right. Can
you
do a Jewish grandmother as well?
Of course, why not? Not your Jewish grandmother, but a Jewish grandmother. Let me clarify, because there's so many. Mine is really Woody Allen with a wig. Lactose intolerant.
Oh my God, I'm totally just, my mind is like, aren't you ready to go write the script for Jim?
I think Jim said you just gotta come up with the idea and just go do it.
Absolutely. No, I know. And, but like even when Daniel, like the phone stops ringing for all of us, we had another director here today. He said he thought he was cursed. But of course, then his next big break. Daniel and I, our top films that have won, you know, been all over the world and viral, like I'm just pointing at a poster, because it was when we were like, what are we going to do? We're not getting jobs right now. Let's go out and create. And so that is so important. Just create.
Yeah.
And then it comes to you like.
Yeah. I think we all have this fantasy that we're going to get to a certain point and then it's all just going to happen. Mm. And that's a deadly kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like saying, I want to succeed to a point where the automaticity of life takes over. Mm. And then I just. What?
Float.
Absorb it all. And all my consumption is going to generate more satisfaction. That's horseshit. Yeah. You're going to have to always, it's much better to go, well, I'm just going to make it. I'm going to keep making it, keep making it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Hey, look, we got 500,000 views. Yeah. Hey, look, we've got 1 million views.
Yeah.
And then now we've got 1,000,007. And now we have 1,000,010. How do we get more? Couldn't we get the, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's nothing you can do to push it along. You're like, right?
Yes.
And then, and meanwhile, you could have made 3 videos.
Right. That's right. So you don't rest on your laurels, as they say.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say something.
And you don't get crippled by what you've done in the past.
Right.
You move forward.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
It was really inspiring what you said to me before. One of my first bosses was Ridley Scott. I worked at his commercial and music video production company. And I've, you know, just shaking his hand, I was like, wow, this man made Blade Runner. He made Alien.
Yeah.
But then I've also seen him do like a movie like Gladiator and then make something that didn't go anywhere. But it didn't matter. He just made the next movie. Not everything is well received, but, you know, it's only by making the next thing that can you explore new areas and find another remarkable thing.
And don't you find, too, after you finish something, you go, wow, I learned something. You know, it didn't totally 100% turn out the way I thought it would, but it was good, you know, whatever. Now, next time, and it sort of like puts you, doesn't it sort of throw you into the next thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
So we just got to learn from Jimmy. Just got to do and do and do and do and do.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then another one of my favorite questions is, how do you define success?
Wow, that's a really good question. Yeah. Well, I think in a very general way, it's did you do what you set out to do?
Mm.
Did you, and did it have a positive effect on people?
Jim, one thing that's blown me away is that I've seen certain people, they become very successful and they drop their old friends. They, you know, only talk to certain people. I see like with you, no matter how big you get, no matter how big success you get, you still continue to keep the same great people around you and to do a project, no matter if it's high level or just, you want to do what's interesting to you. Like, can you talk about that?
Yeah, I think I get dropped by my old friends more than I drop them. But if you listen to William Shatner, he says in his book that he always tries to find a way to say yes to projects.
Mm.
And which in his case is a different challenge than I have, you know, because the things he is asked to do are just different category and different level. But I, too, like if someone writes to me and says, hey, do you want to do this kind of collaboration or something? Sometimes it's like, God, I got so much other stuff I'm trying to do, but maybe, you know, let's see if I can figure out a way to say yes.
Mm.
And if an old friend, obviously, if a friend says, hey, you know, I'm doing this thing. There are certain people that I go, if they ask me, I go, yeah, automatically, whatever it is. Old friends, like, okay, look, we're friends.
Right.
You know, if you guys asked me to do something, for example, I would absolutely do it.
Yeah.
So you try to fit it in and make it happen. And not be too standoffish. And sometimes you do things just because, well, a lot of people are going to see this.
Mm.
So I'd better say yes. You know? But definitely, I old friends are very valuable. And I try to, if I can, I'll always use the same. Also, you know, they're known quantities somewhat. You know, you're like, oh, this guy always does great stuff. I want to work with him always.
Yeah. You've been in a lot of commercials. My mom, she's
yes.
in Texas, and she's like, oh, I saw Jim the other day again. She loves that.
I made a fortune in commercials.
Yeah, tell us about
that. Which was good, because I made a fortune.
Yeah.
It was bad, because I kind of got addicted to it.
Mm.
You know, the quick money of commercials and the fun. And I had some great, great times, and I improvised a lot of commercials. Made a lot of money back when commercials paid well. Yeah, that financed having a family, getting an apartment. It really kind of moved me up in New York. So it was like, wow, I'm not struggling for money right now.
Nice.
This is a whole different town. This is a great
town.
Yes. And, you know, I didn't do drugs, so I didn't crash and burn.
Mm.
At that time, I had done them in high school and stuff, and I made that mistake. But in the 80s, I did not do cocaine. I did not have any of those terrible problems because I was into improv, health, and my wife, and building a career and building a family. So dodge that bullet.
80s New York, were you breakdancing?
80s New York.
Were you breakdancing at all?
I was dancing a lot, not breakdancing, but I was doing some crazy dancing.
This is wonderful. So do you feel that, like, you and Tamara being married has also helped your career be where it is today? Like, because you're both amazing artists.
Yeah. How did you guys, like, team up to get through this adversity together?
Like many, many couples do. They're like, hey, we're both actors. Let's go to New York. We'll help each other. We'll pursue this dream together. And there's all kinds of difficulties involved with that. If someone is more successful than the other, and that's sort of the classic thing that happens. It's very hard to rise at the same time.
Right.
There's, you know, it's herky-jerky all along the way. We did some commercials together, some radio commercials. We did children's books together. Even freelance art, before we had any acting job at all, you know, I would find out about a job. Say, Jim, what we need is, we got 25 Betty Boops, little plaster figurines, and what we need you to do is to paint every one of these figurines, and I'll pay you $25 a piece, whatever. And so my wife and I would get all ready, and we'd spend the night in the apartment painting Betty Boop figurines.
Wow.
And we're like, you know, this is great, and get twice as much done, because we'd be eating pizza together afterwards. And we're putting glitter on things or whatever. Then we got a job, you know, we would get a job dressing up as Popeye and Olive Oil one time for a big event. Like, they're looking for a couple, you guys would be perfect. Like, come on, let's go. So she was a perfect Olive Oil. I was, you know, pretty decent Popeye, and we'd put on these costumes and so that kind of thing. And then we really were planning a life together, and our successes together, our living together, getting a better apartment, having a child someday, and really always playing that game of working together. You got to know, all right, where do you think we're headed? This is where I would like to go. It's never been easy for anybody. I mean, even if you look at the richest, most successful person, get to know them. They've had a rough time in their universe.
Now, Jim, you've worked on four or five films with Ron Howard.
Five films with Ron Howard, yeah.
What makes a personality like that remarkable? Is there something magnetic about his personality?
Well, I wouldn't say he's a magnetic personality. He's like Clint Eastwood or something. But he's friendly. He's an actor. I've known him a long time. I probably, like I said, I met him when he was in his teens. And I also worked for him as a kind of a grip on a film that he was doing with his family, with his own money, after he left Happy Days.
Wow,
like
really?
On the weekends, yeah. He called my mom and he said, do you think Jim would like to work on a project that I'm shooting a 16 millimeter? And mom said, yes. Get me out of the house in the summertime. He approaches it like a basketball coach. All the different departments are kind of like the different players. And he's giving this department what they need and talking to them in their language and getting this department what they need and getting everybody to play together nice so that the score, you know, the basket is, we got that scene. Great, great person to work with. Very bright, very dogged, very hardworking, very centered, very sharp and creative. I mean, you look at the body of work, it's everything from Willow to Apollo 13.
What makes a great director to you?
Yeah.
Well, that I would say the best director I've worked with in films is Ron, because he comes and says, okay, I'll on a scene, you know, and he gives you what you need, you know, no more, no less. And then you try it a few times, and are you okay on that? All right, let's move on, you know. I've never had a huge role in his films, but I've worked for months and months on pictures with him. The Grinch and Apollo 13 were very long assignments.
Do you find it hard to face rejection as an actor?
Like, yes, I'm not fond of it at all. I audition for stuff constantly, you know, at home. I have a booth and I get voiceover auditions, animation stuff, and I do a kick-ass job, and by the end of the week, whew, nothing. Or I got one thing. I auditioned 20 times, I got half of one little thing, maybe, that came from something else. And then none of the things I auditioned for. And if you sit and think about it, you're like, they don't like my voice. Is my voice too this? Is it too that? It doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's somebody going, no, hire him, very arbitrarily.
Yeah.
You know? So eventually you learn, if you keep going as an actor, you learn to just kind of go on to the next, not think about it too much, because the thinking will drive you just out of your mind.
Right.
That's really helpful.
Because as a director, it could just be the right height, and you can't change that.
Exactly.
It's that simple.
So it's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough that way. You got to keep it running. like a motorcycle. You got to keep it healthy. It gets older. Whatever you do, it's getting older. Right. Doesn't matter. Fill it full of injections, diet, straighten it out, pin it back. I feel fine. I'm just as youthful as ever. Kirk Douglas and I were talking the other day, and we said we never felt better. Are you still here? Where is everyone? It's getting dark. Yeah, so it's hard. And then it's so easy to be evaluated. Someone comes along and goes, you know, like you do an audition. They go, thank you. And you're like, what did I do?
Oh, man. Do you have any last-minute advice for, like, artists, actors?
We often do our five tips for the audience on what they can do to
make
their dream happen.
Yeah, okay,
oh, sorry, I didn't prepare this. Okay, five. Here's one. Okay. Get started. You have an idea, get started. Mm. Even if it's just a shred of an idea. Like, I had an idea one time. I just had an image in my head of, like, pouring salt and pepper on my head. And that was, like, the portal to a whole script idea. But I had to like sit down and go, well, why am I doing that? Why is that? Who is that guy doing that? And I write it down and write. And I figured it out. I'm like, oh, I see. So sometimes you don't get the whole picture right away. Mm. So get started. Mm. Don't squash it before while it's just a seedling. You know, find out, follow it up, because there's stuff there. There's always something there. Let people know what you're doing or not. Always let them know what you're doing. Don't hold it back. You know, if you think, should I tell them? Should I pass out a flyer? Should I write a letter? Should I send an email? Yes. Just the answer is yes.
Great.
Just complete, you know, get that out there.
Facebook posts.
Use social media. Yeah. Social media is fantastic. I mean, it's great. Clothing sale. he's probably 100 years old now.
Wow.
Let's see what else. Yeah, don't judge it. Don't judge it. Just get it out. The biggest thing that stops a writer or an artist is they go, should I? And then this little voice goes, well, if you did that, it really wouldn't look so good because it was right. Everybody's got these. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, shut them up and just see. Let me see what it is.
Yeah.
You know, just do it. And not, because you can stop yourself so easily. Mm. Also, help other people.
Mm.
That's a big thing.
Yes.
And it'll make you feel better. Your space will get bigger and maybe you'll think of some wonderful ideas, you know. So that's four. Brush your teeth.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Let's write that script. Now we're writing this script.
What are you watching this for? You should go. What are you doing? Are you listening? Just get out of here. Get working. And finish that thing.
The important thing is to get started. So with what we just learned from Jim, thank you for watching The Dream State. Go out with your idea and just do it. And don't stop yourself and get it done, man.
Yeah.
Catch you on the next episode.